The focus of this perek is a continuation of the previous perek's discussion, namely the way that the bird korbanos were brought. And as we saw in the previous perek, there are two different types of bird korbanos. One is a oila, which in certain cases is an obligation. It can also be brought voluntarily. That is a bird korban oila. There is also a bird korban chatos, which is an obligation to atone for certain sins. And the procedure of bringing the bird korbanos differs from the procedure when bringing a regular zevach, a regular animal offering. When bringing a regular zevach, we saw at length that there are three parts of the procedure. The first part is the four avodas, slaughtering, receiving the blood, transporting the blood towards the mizbeach, and throwing the blood onto the mizbeach. The second part of the procedure is the burning of the emurim, certain parts of the korban on the mizbeach. And the third and final part of the procedure, which applies to the vast majority of korbanos, is the eating of the remaining parts of the korban, either by the male kohanim inside the Beis HaMikdash, or even by the owner who bought the korban. And that depends on whether it is kodshi kodshim or kodshim kalim, if it is part of the group of korbanos which have a higher level of holiness or a lower level of holiness. Bird korbanos differ from a regular zevach in that instead of there being three parts of the procedure, there are only ever going to be two parts. The reason being that a bird korban oila is burnt totally and it's never eaten, so we're lacking the third part of the procedure, the eating of the korban, whereas a bird korban chatos, is none of it is burnt on the mizbeach. It is all eaten, and therefore we skip the second part of the procedure. The second fundamental difference between a regular zevach and a bird offering is within the first procedure, a regular zevach involves four avodas, four services, whereas a bird korban involves only two services. One is melika, where the bird is killed from the back of its neck with the kohen's right thumbnail, and the second service is what they would do with the blood, the applying of the blood onto the mizbeach. Now, within the bird korbanos, there are also three main differences in the way that the korbanos were brought between the bird korban chatos and the bird korban oila. And that's other than the fact that one of them is totally burnt and one of them is totally eaten. One difference is regarding the melika, the first service. When performing the melika on a bird korban oila, both the food pipe and the windpipe need to be cut through, whereas for the bird korban chatos, only one of those should be cut. The second difference is regarding the second service, the application of the blood, that regarding a bird korban chatos, the kohen would first shake the bird next to the mizbeach so that the blood would be directed towards the mizbeach, and then he would squeeze the bird itself onto the wall of the mizbeach so that the blood would drop downwards. Whereas for the bird korban oila, he would miss out that stage of shaking the bird, he would just go straight and squeeze it onto the wall of the mizbeach. And the third difference between them is that the bird korban chatos was squeezed onto the mizbeach on the bottom half of the mizbeach, whereas the bird korban oila was before the blood was applied on the top half of the mizbeach. Begins the Mishnah, chatas ha'oif, a bird korban chatos sha'asa olamato, whose service and blood was applied at the bottom on the lower half of the mizbeach, like it should be, kemaisechatos, that which was done with it was that which needs to be done with a korban chatos, meaning he shook the animal before squeezing it onto the wall of the mizbeach, and earlier on when he did the melika, he only cut through one of either the food pipe or the windpipe. And both of the services, l'shem chatos, he did for the sake of being a korban chatos, he had the correct intentions, kashera, obviously the korban would be valid. And we're going to understand quite simply that this part of the Mishnah is obvious. We're just saying it as an introduction to the later part of the Mishnah. What happens if he is performing the procedure and the process for a korban chatos, and kemaisa chatos, he performs it all according to the way that a korban chatos needs to be carried out, l'shem oila, but he has the intention during at least one of the services that it be for the sake of a korban oila, or kemaisa oila, the process which he carries out is the process which is necessary for a korban oila, l'shem chatos, and he has the intention that it be for the sake of a korban chatos, or kemaisa oila, l'shem oila, he performs the process needed for a korban oila, and he has the intention that it be for the sake of a korban oila. The problem is it was designated to be a korban chatos. So in all of these cases, pasula, the korban will be invalidated. When talking about a korban chatos, it's enough to have the wrong intention you intend it for a different carbon, that in itself invalidates the carbon, and all the more so if parts of the actual procedure were performed wrong. Asa'a lamala, if he performed the process of squeezing the blood on the top half of the Mizbeach, kemaisei kulom, regardless of how he performed the rest of the process, pasula, the carbon will be invalid. That having been said, since at the end of the day the process was performed correctly, except for the location of where the blood ended up on the Mizbeach, the owner's obligation is fulfilled. The Mishnah is just saying that it's invalid and it cannot be eaten. Mishnah base, oila sa'iv she'asa'a lamala, a bird carbon oila, whose process was performed and whose blood was applied above the top half of the Mizbeach, meaning it was performed in the top half, kemaisa oila, according to the way that a carbon oila needs to be carried out, l'shem oila, for the sake of being bought as a carbon oila, then obviously kashera, the carbon is going to be valid. What happens if kemaisa oila l'shem chatos? He carries out the process needed for a carbon oila, but he has the intention during one of the services that it be for the sake of a carbon chatos, says the Mishnah. Kashera, it is valid. The actual carbon is valid, except for the fact that it does not help to fulfill the obligation of the owner who is bringing it, just like the regular law for a carbon oila, that even if you have the wrong intention, the carbon is still valid. It just doesn't work to fulfill his obligation, and he will need to bring a replacement carbon. Now what happens if he changes something in the actual process? Kamaisi chatos, he performs the process needed for a carbon chatos. L'shem oila, and he has the intention that it be for the sake of the carbon oila. Kamaisi chatos, l'shem chatos. Or if he performs the process needed for a carbon chatos, and he has the intention that it be bought for a carbon chatos. Since this has been designated for a carbon oila, pasula will be invalidated. Asa'a lamata kamaisi kulon. If he applies the blood on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, then regardless of how the process was performed, pasula will be invalidated. Mishnah Gimel, the law is, regarding a regular animal, if a shechita, a slaughtering, is not performed on the animal, and it dies in a different way, or if the slaughtering is performed incorrectly, and we now have a dead animal in front of us, if that animal is kosher, however, obviously it's not kosher if it doesn't receive a correct slaughtering. The only way that an animal can be eaten is if it receives a slaughtering in the correct manner. So if we have a kosher animal which did not receive a correct slaughtering, it's forbidden to eat it, and it is also a source of tumah. But unlike virtually any other type of tumah, if somebody just touches it or he carries it, he won't become tomei. The only way that he will become tomei from this animal is by swallowing it. If he swallows the bird, then he will become tomei. This is known as tumas beis habelia, where the tumah is transferred as he swallows it in his throat. Now, a regular bird, which is not being designated as a korban, requires a regular shechita, a regular slaughtering, and therefore, if it is killed in any other way, if the animal dies in any other way, then it would be considered to be a nevela, and would transfer tumah to somebody who swallows it. Now, the process of melika is different to a regular slaughtering, and when it comes to a bird which has been designated as a korban, it needs to be killed via the process of melika, and not via the regular process of shechita. But if the korban becomes invalidated, then I might think that the animal is now considered to be a nevela. It will now be a source of tumah since it didn't end up being bought as a korban, it's an invalid korban. So now it requires a regular shechita, but it received the melika. And so I would think that it would be a nevela. So the Mishnah says, no, v'chulon. And in all of the cases which have been described in the last couple of Mishnayos, even where the korban was invalidated, nevertheless, einam tamis v'ves habelia, the bird would not be a source of tumah for the one who swallows it, since the melika, at the time that the melika was performed, that is the way of killing the animal which was necessary. And therefore, this would not be considered to be a nevela. And Mishnah adds that in all of these cases, umayalin bohen, the prohibition of me'ila would apply. Me'ila is when one benefits from something which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash or to be bought as a korban, and a korban, at least one which is kodshei kodshim, which is one of the korbanos which is part of those which have a higher level of holiness, the law of me'ila applies to them until the stage where it's permitted to eat. Once it becomes permitted to eat, so it loses that degree of holiness, and one would not be liable to me'ila if he does benefit from the animal for his own benefit. Now, in all of these cases where the animal became invalidated as a korban, so it's not permitted to eat it. If it's not permitted to eat, then the prohibition of me'ila remains, and so the Mishnah says, umayalin bohen, the law of me'ila would continue to apply to them. Except for one particular scenario, chutz mechatas o'ayv sha'asa'o lamata, except for the bird korban chatos, whose blood was squeezed onto the Mizbeach on the bottom half, K'maisa Chatos, according to the process which is necessary and needs to be carried out for a Korban Chatos, L'shem Chatos, for the sake of the Korban Chatos, meaning a Korban Chatos which was brought totally in the valid way, and therefore it is now permitted for the Kohanim to eat the meat of the Korban, at that stage the Me'ilah would no longer apply. A Korban Oila, on the other hand, even if the entire process is carried out correctly, the prohibition of Me'ilah nevertheless remains because none of the Korban Oila is eaten. So you never reach that stage where it's permitted to eat, and that would lift up the prohibition of Me'ilah. Mishnah Daled, Oila Sa'ov Shasol Mata, a bird Korban Oila, whose blood was applied to the Mizbeach on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, which is not the correct way of doing it for the Korban Oila, and the process which was carried out for this Korban was K'maisi Chatos, the process which was necessary for a Korban Chatos, L'shem Chatos, and he had the intention that it would be for the sake of a Korban Chatos. So he did everything which is needed for a Korban Chatos. The problem is, this animal has been designated to be a Korban Oila, a bird Korban Oila. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mu'alin Ba, Me'ilah applies to it, it's forbidden to benefit from it, and if somebody does benefit from it, he'll be liable to all of the punishments which apply to regular Me'ilah, since at the end of the day, it's just an invalid Korban Oila. And like we learned in the previous Mishnah, an invalid Korban Oila will still have the prohibition of Me'ilah. It never reaches that stage where it is permitted for the Kohanim to eat it. However, strangely, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ein Mu'alin Ba, the laws of Me'ilah do not apply to it anymore. So Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, what are you talking about? If when it comes to a bird Korban Chatos, that Me'ilah does not apply to it if it is bought for its own sake, and everything is performed correctly, and you reach that stage where it is permitted for Kohanim, in such a case, the Me'ilah no longer applies to it. And yet, K'sheshina es Shema, if he had the intention that it be for the sake of a different Korban, thus invalidating the Korban Mu'alin Ba, therefore the prohibition of Me'ilah remains, because you never reach that stage where it is permitted to eat. So, Oila Shemalin Balishma, a Korban Oila, where even once you do it all correctly, for the sake of the Korban Oila, and you reach the end of it, and yet Malin Ba, the prohibition of Me'ilah continues to apply, so K'sheshina es Shema, if you change the intentions, you had the intention that it be for the sake of a different Korban, and you invalidated the Korban, so all the more so, you're not going to reach such a stage where the prohibition of Me'ilah is lifted. K'sheshina es Shema, is it not all the more so that the punishment of Me'ilah should continue to apply? It's a Korban Oila. There's no such thing as Me'ilah stopping with a Korban Oila, because you never reach a stage where it is permitted to eat. Omar Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, and before we see inside what he's going to say, we'll explain that Rabbi Yeshua has a very novel idea, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you perform the entire process of the Korban, according to the way that a Korban Chatos' process needs to be carried out, with the intentions that it be a Korban Chatos, if you do all of that, then it actually turns into a Korban Chatos. And therefore, there's no longer going to be Me'ilah. And now Rabbi Yeshua explains, Lai, no. If you're talking about a Korban Chatos, that he had the intention that it turn into a Korban Oila. And the law in such a case is that Me'ilah still applies to it. The reason is because he changed its name. He had the intent that it be for the sake of something which a Me'ilah applies to. He intended for it to be a Korban Oila, and a Korban Oila has Me'ilah. Can you now take that idea to a Korban Oila where you had the intention that it be for the sake of a Korban Chatos, Shekein Shina Es Shema, the Dovah She'ein by Me'ilah, that he had the intention that it be for the sake of something which does not have Me'ilah? He turned it into a Korban Chatos, and therefore Me'ilah does not apply to it. Omar Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, I'm going to prove to you that there's no such thing as turning it into something else. An animal which is part of the group of Korbanos, which have a high level of holiness, and he slaughtered them in the southern part of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the wrong place, that is the place where the other type of Korbanos need to be slaughtered. And in this case, he also slaughtered it for the sake of it being a lower level Korban. So he effectively carried out the process which is necessary for the lower level Korban. Whatever the law is in that case, Yechichu, that should prove to our case. Because there also, Shekein Shina Es Shema L'Dovah She'ein B'Me'ilah, because he changed it, he carried out the process for the sake of something which doesn't have Me'ilah, because the lower level Korbanos do not have Me'ilah, and yet what is the halacha in such a case? U'Mo'alin Bohen. Me'ilah does apply to them. So you see that it didn't magically turn into a different type of Korban, which would therefore get rid of the Me'ilah prohibition. So Af'ata Al Tismal Ha'Olah, so you also shouldn't be so puzzled about this case where the Korban Oila, Sha'afal Pisha Shina Shmal Dovashim Me'ilah, that even though he had the intention that it be for the sake of something which does not have me'ilah, i.e. a korban chatas, that nevertheless the prohibition of me'ilah will continue because it remains a korban oila and there is no such thing as turning it into a korban chatas. Omar Rabbi Yeshua, said, that's not a good proof. Why? Loi, no. Over there, even lower level korbanos do have the prohibition of me'ilah. The law is that when the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach, the meat becomes permitted. But the parts of the korban which are going to be burnt onto the Mizbeach, the prohibition of me'ilah still applies. So something like that, which is partially still prohibited as me'ilah, that doesn't have the power to get rid of the me'ilah prohibition. However, korban chatos, where the prohibition of me'ilah is totally removed from it once it becomes permitted to eat, that does have the power to remove the prohibition of me'ilah. So he explains, if you're talking about a case where he takes the high-level korbanos and he slaughters it in the south for the sake of being a lower-level korbanos, then me'ilah will still remain. Why? Because he did all of this for the sake of it being something which has part of it which is forbidden, part of it which is permitted. Can you now take that idea to an oila which he performed for the sake of it being something which is totally permitted? If you have the intention for it to be a korban chatos, which is totally exempt from me'ilah, then that has the power to remove the me'ilah prohibition from the korban oila. Unlike if you have the intention to turn it into something which is still partially prohibited by me'ilah, so then the prohibition of me'ilah will remain totally, and you haven't got the power to take that prohibition away.